Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. My co-host Anthony Brooks is out today. Four more victims of the mass shooting in Newtown, Connecticut are being laid to rest today. They are 27-year-old teacher Victoria Soto, 7-year-old Daniel Barden, 6-year-old Caroline Previti, and 6-year-old Charlotte Bacon. In Washington, President Obama announced that he's creating a special task force and plans to submit new gun control proposals to Congress no later than January.
Over these past 5 days, a discussion has reemerged as to what we might do not only to deter mass shootings in the future, but to reduce the epidemic of gun violence that plagues this country every single day. And it's encouraging that people of all different backgrounds and beliefs and political persuasions have been willing to challenge some old assumptions and change long-standing positions.
Now, some of those positions include financial ones, because here in Massachusetts, State Treasurer Steve Grossman directed the state pension fund to review any investments it might have in the firearms industry. Steve Grossman joins us now. Treasurer Grossman, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Meghna.
So first, let me ask you, was this review that you've called for in the state pension fund's investments a response to actual feedback from state workers?
No, it was essentially an understanding on my part that we were about to embark as a society, both here in Massachusetts and all over the country, in a really important debate on gun laws and also on what weapons should be produced at all in this country and what weapons should be sold. And to the extent that our public pension fund, called PRIM, has $51 billion of stock in it. We own stock in 9,000 companies. I thought it was appropriate to keep the public. There were more than 6.5 million people in this Commonwealth, legislators, nonprofit groups, advocacy groups, fully informed as to what we actually own, because there will inevitably be some attempts on the part of legislators once they come back into session in January to think through, should we be owning these companies at all in our public pension system? While I have not called for divestment, it's really up to the legislature to make those decisions. We've done it in the cases of South Africa with apartheid, tobacco, Sudan, Darfur.
Well, all cases where the legislature, who do represent state employees as well, has decided that those are not companies who, or those are not institutions, countries, companies whose mission or business is in alignment with the values of the people whose pension fund the state is looking after.
And I think you put your finger right on it. Yes, it is our obligation at the state pension fund to maximize return. Yes, it is our obligation to be fiduciaries. But you cannot have any discussion about investment decisions when you're investing public funds without taking into account the basic values and priorities of the people of this Commonwealth. And when the legislature debates Iran or Darfur or apartheid and makes decisions to divest, and I'm not, again, suggesting that we move in that direction yet at all. I'm simply suggesting that we need to have appropriate, timely, accurate, and relevant information. That's why I've called for the analysis, and I've also gone to our deferred compensation plan, which is another $5.6 billion. This is deferred compensation for roughly 300,000 public employees, and said, what do we have there so that at least when we have the public discussion, people are informed and can make intelligent choices and establish priorities. We've got some of those.
Well, Treasurer Grossman, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I am curious, though. From what I see, the state pension fund, as you mentioned, it's large. It's $50-plus billion.
Right.
The Boston Globe today reported, and I understand that this is part of your review to get a real sense of exactly what dollar amount that we're talking about. It may be directly associated with firearms manufacturers, but from what I see, you know, it's in the $1.4 million, $70 million range. Whatever it is, it's a tiny fraction of the $50 billion total pension fund. If it's so small, why not just call for the divestment? Because I'm sure the pension fund could find other businesses that provided an equal, if not better, return than the firearms manufacturer.
Let's assume hypothetically that you find that there is a manufacturer of handguns and the principal customers of those handguns are law enforcement agencies or the military, and they're making weapons that are determined to be perfectly appropriate. I think what we're really talking about here are these automatic rifles. We're talking about armor-piercing bullets if you're talking about ammunition. There are certain kinds of products that are being made and sold because other states don't have the same laws that we do here in Massachusetts that we may find and may decide are absolutely inappropriate, and we don't want to own stock in that company. I don't want to necessarily paint every single company in industry with the same brush. The same way with Iran, we only divested from 18 companies that were helping Iran develop its nuclear weapons program, not every oil and gas company that we own, because we differentiated between the good companies and the ones that were manufacturing products that were clearly wrong or bad or inappropriate.
How long do you anticipate the review will take, and when do you expect it to be completed?
I think we'll have some information about weapons manufacturers fairly quickly, within a few days, less than a week. I think the study of global companies, and again, we are all over the world, so you've got to analyze 9,000 companies, and I don't want to make a mistake here. I'd rather do it right than do it precipitously. So we're going to do it as quickly as we can. I have no doubt that the legislature, who represent us and who have been the architects of divestment over the years, will be looking for this information when they come back in January. We'll do it as quickly as we can. My goal is to keep the public informed, the citizens, the media, advocacy groups, nonprofits, and most notably, those elected officials who have to make those decisions. We will work with them in whatever way we can, but I think we want to anticipate this debate, be ready for it, and that's why I asked for this review as soon as I could.
Steve Grossman is the treasurer for the state of Massachusetts. Mr. Grossman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Meghna.
Now, state employee pension funds are big players in the stock market. So are also mutual funds. One of the largest in the world is the Vanguard Group. And Vanguard spokesman told the Boston Globe in a statement that while they were deeply saddened by the tragedy in Connecticut, Vanguard was not prepared to stop buying stocks in firearms manufacturers because, quote, they believe that mutual funds are not optimal agents to address social change. So I want to turn to another voice to respond to that. He is Robert Zevin. He is chairman of Zevin Asset Management. It is a Boston-based company and one of the pioneers in socially responsible investing. Robert Zevin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Meghna. It's a pleasure to be here again.
So first of all, what do you think of Vanguard's position that it says mutual funds aren't great tools to enact social change?
Well, I think the history of the social investment movement suggests that investors do have a role to play in social change. The tobacco divestment movement and South Africa divestment movements that Treasurer Grossman mentioned have both led to important changes in public policy. So I think, and in the consequent results for reducing smoking and for ending apartheid in South Africa. So I think it's just not correct that they're not suitable agents. I think everyone has a role to play, whatever they do in society in addressing important social issues, including investors.
Now, the Vanguard Group points to the fact that many of its mutual funds are so-called passively managed, that they just sort of invest in a broad group of stocks that match, say, what's in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and they're not in control of what's in that index. But on the other hand, there are a lot of actively managed funds. And I am curious, though, For investors in those types of fund, which anyone who has a 401k right about now might have one, you know, what is really the balance between socially responsible investing, say if you are a person who doesn't want to own shares of a firearms company, versus what Treasurer Grossman said earlier, that there's a fiduciary responsibility to do what you can to maximize, you know, the outcome of your portfolio, of your investments?
Yeah, I don't think Steve Grossman was trying to say that selling weapons manufacturers would prevent the Commonwealth's pension plans from maximizing returns. And if he did, he would have been incorrect, I think, because almost all of the criteria that social investors have applied up to this point anyway have not interfered with optimizing or maximizing returns. So I'm sure that there are some screens that might do so in the future, but at this point, none of the divestment campaigns around countries or around various issues like nuclear power or weapons, all kinds of weapons, including those that are sold to the military, have had any meaningful impact on returns.
And I think you're right. I don't think Treasurer Grossman implied at all that the two were totally mutually opposed. But it, you know, sort of does lead to this larger question that I'm curious about, and that is, as we've talked about, there have been movements that did affect some kind of change, and when investors said no, do you think that the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, and for the conversation that we've been hearing over the past week about firearms companies, that we could see some similar change in that world now?
Yes, I do. The effort to get state treasurers to divest their tobacco stocks was actually the beginning of the movement that led to the states coming together to sue the tobacco companies, which in turn was the beginning of a series of events, including some federal legislation that led to a significant assault on the spread of smoking in the United States. And similarly, the South African divestment movement led to state and city boycotts of the products of companies that were doing business in South Africa, which was the beginning of the disinvestment movement by American corporations. And I think that this is another excellent opportunity for the states to begin to express their interest in reducing the cost to the states in terms of police, prisons, health care, public safety, and therefore the attractiveness of the states for investment from outside and so on. I mean, the states have a huge interest in reducing gun ownership and gun violence, and to begin to codify that by first divesting and then pursuing other avenues in addition to legislation, perhaps even lawsuits against those companies, would be a very good thing, and it would be the beginning of that if the states were to decide now to divest, I think.
Robert Zevin is chairman of Zevin Asset Management. It is one of the pioneers in socially responsible investing. Robert Zevin, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Megan. Thank you for having me.
Well, listeners, stay with us, because up next, we'll take a look at a special WBUR investigation that's uncovered significant problems with the state's system of group homes for those dealing with mental health issues. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.